Hello and welcome to SourceCast episode number 26. I'm your host, Joey Lombardi. I'm not going to be that guy that celebrates a milestone every other podcast that I do. I know I mentioned that 21 was a milestone event because, you know, 21's an interesting number. But 26 is a true milestone because if you were doing a television show, this would probably be the end of the season. I don't think I'm going to do season formats, so we're just going to keep tracking the episodes as we go along. But to me, this has been a solid 6 or 7 months of work. I'm glad that there's a cadence with the show. I'm able to continue doing it on a weekly basis or darn close to weekly. So I appreciate everyone that listens to the show, provides feedback, and looks forward to actually listening to it. The lead story this week involves Oracle and Salesforce. These two companies have a weird relationship with each other. Ellison was Mark Benioff's mentor, and he brought him up through the corporate ranks. Benioff left, started Salesforce, focused on the cloud. Ellison laughed off the cloud. Now the cloud is a big part of Oracle's strategy. There's a lot of history here. There's a lot of assumptions that at some point Oracle will just buy Salesforce. But we're going to get into all of that later in the show. HP Inc. made some interesting moves that warrant a little bit of attention. We'll talk about what they're up to. We're going to cover a little bit of the drama that's going on between the VMware CEO and EMC and Dell. Gelsinger didn't show up to EMC World. It's the last one. Everyone thought he was quitting. He's saying he's not. We'll get into that. And if we have some time at the end, we're going to cover some interesting topics and news that you can use specifically around friendship in the workplace. So let's start the show. So Oracle and Salesforce. Over the last month, as I read articles about both companies, there's this very lazy assumption that Oracle at some point will pick off Salesforce. The leaders of both companies at one point were friends, and the tone of their relationship over the last year has been trending towards the friendlier side, at least until recently. Historically, both company leaders have had nasty things to say about each other's companies and also individuals, but they softened on that tone this year. I don't know if Ellison directly admitted that his lack of focus on cloud historically was a mistake, and he very famously poo-pooed cloud for many years. But as Ellison and Oracle's stance on cloud technologies softened, so it seemed was their stance on Salesforce and Mark Benioff. Which is surprising that Benioff recently made the move to start pulling away from Oracle technology and database products. A website named Investor Place recently did an article that covered Salesforce's attempts to move to an open source SQL database platform. The website says that it is easier to use open source in Europe for a variety of regulatory issues. The website goes on to say that it does make sense for Salesforce to move away from Oracle products since Oracle is becoming so competitive in the cloud space and is specifically going after CRM products and customers. You're going to see these funky, conflicted relationships all over the place. Apple took business away from Amazon and actually gave it to Google, which is obviously a direct competitor in the mobile space, but apparently they were saving money. And in other areas, like with Salesforce and Oracle, the competition is getting strong, even though these companies have a direct historical relationship with each other, but you're seeing them make the moves that they need to do to be competitive, and they're taking business away from Oracle as Oracle grows in the cloud space. And I also don't think it's a coincidence when you look at the lawsuit between Google and Oracle. We've been talking about it for the last 3 weeks. As this lawsuit heats up and cools down, and now it's heating up again, the core of the issue is that Google used Java APIs because their programmers were familiar with that language, and they thought that they could use it under fair use. Oracle purchased Sun, and they're of the opinion that no, it is not fair use. So as these fair use and programming language issues turn into lawsuits, would you want to use a platform that's contested if you're building a platform? I know that I wouldn't want to develop on something that could theoretically become a lawsuit in 5 years, and then you either have to change all of your infrastructure or sign over $8 billion to a company that is a competitor. Before I get off the topic of Salesforce and Oracle, in addition to getting off of Oracle platforms, Salesforce recently announced that they are moving over to Amazon Web Services. So it's a strategic partnership, and it makes Salesforce available in AWS natively. So there is potential for Salesforce to move over to Amazon and use their database product as well, which I think is based on open source. And now there's talk that Amazon may buy Salesforce as well. There's a lot of people talking about buying Salesforce. Speaking of interesting, HP Inc. is rolling out a venture capital unit. If you recall, we did a podcast a couple of weeks ago about Meg Whitman talking trash. And while Whitman is not the CEO of HP Inc., she's still on their board, and I believe she's the chairman. But Whitman went out and said, we can't buy all these companies want us to buy them. Now HP Inc. rolls out this venture unit where they are going to invest in these other companies, theoretically. It looks like they're focused on 3D printing and expanding a broader ecosystem of 3D print. It makes sense that they're investing in an ecosystem that they think is the future of their business. We've talked about it for weeks. Desktop sales are declining. We don't see a recovery in that area, unless you're Apple. Traditional printing seems to be on a permanent decline, but they have hope in 3D printing. I don't think it's a terrible idea. I think 3D printing is going to have a lot of interesting and new applications, especially in the medical field. But you do need innovation and creative thinking. And if this is a company that's not going to grow their headcount, it doesn't look like they're on the hunt for acquisitions. So this is a good way for them to spread their influence and not have to burn all of their capital through acquisition. Another interesting note that I read this week about HP Inc. is their deal with OpenText. CMS Wire is telling us that we're asking the wrong questions about the deal. The long and short of the article is, OpenText got a pretty good deal on these products. And they're a company that seems to know this particular product area. They have historically done well with these sort of products. And then for customers of these products, this acquisition may be good news. As we talked about a few weeks ago, OpenText is expecting this product base to be profitable and for them to pay off the amount of money they spent on it within 2 years. That tells me that there might be more R&D on this product and more attention focused on it. So for fans of the former autonomy products, the move to OpenText may be really good news if you want to continue to use the product. Fans of VMware also got some good news. There's been a lot of rumors about VMware CEO Pat Gelsinger leaving the company. Pat didn't show up to the last EMC World. A lot of people were talking. There were dozens of articles reporting that the man was leaving the company. He actually had to send out a press release stating that he was not leaving VMware. Michael Dell and Pat then made it very clear that they were on friendly terms and were laughing about all of the rumors. I do think it's odd that Pat did not show up at the last EMC World. There really wasn't a very good explanation as to why he wasn't there. And I also think it's curious since there were so many articles stating that the man was departing, that either something happened at the 11th hour to keep him on board, and it may have been a move by Michael Dell to show unity within the leadership because it seems to be a massive exodus from EMC. Or it could just be that the press got it wrong. I don't think this is the end of that story. Meanwhile, the joint Dell-EMC company, which is known as Dell Technologies, better look over their shoulder because Israeli company Infinidat has reported a 213% year-over-year sales growth in Q1 2016. Infinidat CEO Moshe Yani states that this growth includes repeat sales from existing customers, which proves their ability to deliver on the promise of high-performance, scalable, and reliable storage. Infinidat is known for having high-performing technology at very reasonable prices. And what about IBM this week? I haven't really mentioned them. It's more of the same this week. Watson, they're talking about their applications in health. One thing that I am interested in is this three-way dance that's developing between Apple, SAP, and IBM. IBM and SAP have historically had a relationship where IBM was selling a lot of SAP's tools and gaps where they didn't have a strong product base in. Now Apple and SAP have a relationship, and it seems like this is an opportunity for Apple to sell more product and hardware to an enterprise customer. But since IBM is familiar with both products now, there's an opportunity for them to work on more applications and sell applications with the SAP customers as well. So it seems like it's a potential opportunity for the two companies or the three companies, and there doesn't seem to be much conflict yet. I'm very curious to see if anybody gets hurt in this three-way dance. Everything's looking good right now, but every time you introduce another corporate personality into the mix, you're introducing more opportunity for conflict. IBM was also called patent trolls this week. There's been an ongoing lawsuit between IBM and Groupon about some use with their location technology that was available in WebSphere. Now Groupon is turning it around and suing IBM for saying IBM is potentially infringing on one of their patents, which sounds kind of ridiculous, but they are making fun of the overall lawsuit. Groupon sent out a press release and stated the following: IBM, a relic of a once great 20th century technology firm, has now resorted to usurping the intellectual property of companies born this millennium. So yeah, Groupon's taking pot shots. They're calling them an old company. They're not hip, air quotes. They're not with it. But there's a reason why IBM is the number one patent-generating U.S. company year over year. Because it makes money. And now we're going to move over to some news that you can use. And CIO Magazine is calling out a trend. Why some outsourcing customers are terminating their call center deals. Everest analysts did a study on this. And they are saying that buyers have greater expectations from call center providers today. And they're not content with just lower costs. They're looking for call center vendors that they can partner with to deliver improved business outcomes. They expect these companies who specialize in call centers to incorporate emerging technologies and techniques. And they're also looking for the big data and the analytics that everybody's looking for right now. So the old school call center outsourcing is not getting the job done anymore, and it's not meeting the expectations of some customers. And just like in any other business, if you fail to innovate, you are not going to survive. And if you guys are really curious about my thoughts on call center outsourcing, reach out to me and ask me about Detroit. I'm going to end this podcast with an article from Fast Company that basically calls out how men's changing friendships are reshaping the workplace. And you're probably making the conclusion that men are establishing more friendships at work. And that seems to be true. The Fast Company article goes on to say that there are lots of reasons why we think friendship and work don't mix, aside from competition. The first issue is that nowadays, people don't stay in a job for 35 years like they used to. You don't consistently have the same colleagues that you see every day. And then you have to consider if a friend gets promoted and suddenly you're not peers anymore. But I think that's an issue that's always been prevalent. The article goes on to say that while they're not sure why the trend is occurring, but men are steadily growing closer. If you want to know more about this topic, we're actually doing a spinoff podcast that's going to go into this topic and there will be some guests. So that's a shameless plug. I will not be promoting this episode in the newsletter for those of you that are subscribed to that. So if you want to find that, you'll have to go to the website. So I'm going to end it there. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back with episode number 27 next week.